My name is Christian Mitchell, also known as CC the Poet. I am the founder and CEO of Sound on the Hill, Sound Everywhere.
I am Nick Miller, also known as the culinary artist known as Pollo Poppy, and I am a collaborator and teammate on the Sound on the Hill team.
Can you both talk a little bit about what your roles mean, like what you do with the group?
Okay, well, my role is pretty much doing a lot of the background work when it comes to finding the venue, really observing every event. I really love to do that. I'm the one that sits in the corner and watch everything come to life. That's the main thing that I enjoy about my role.
So like a supportive role for sure.
Yeah, the supportive role, and also going back and being able to know what to do better moving forward with each event. I also do a lot of the graphics on the Sound on the Hill Instagram page.
You're like a Jane of all trades. You do a lot of everything.
Anything creative that I can think of, I try to do. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm a spoken word artist on the side. Yeah.
Okay. And Nick, what do you do? Yeah,
she cut hers short. Social media manager, creative director, event curator, okay. Community organizer. Just a few extras on top of hers. Me, I get in where I fit in. I do my best just to help take the ideas that we discuss as a group and contribute where I can, help us pull it off the way we drew it up. Outside of that, as a collaborator, I am the host of the Freestyle Friday event that we put on together. So that's bounced around different places in the city, from EQ Labs to Shenanigans Comedy Theater to most recently Black Umbrella Studio. So a portion of that, part of how we handle collaborations is, you know, you kind of run point on your own event. So that's interacting with the venues as well, connecting and collaborating with artists, local producers, and of course, making sure that we get the word out about the event to have it be as successful as possible.
Can you talk about how you came up with the name Sound on the Hill? Because that just rolls off your tongue, right?
Yeah. Story time. I didn't come up with the name.
That's fine. Yeah.
One of our former members, Channing Hampton, he actually came up with the name when I was at A&M. I was in the communications department, and we were starting a telecommunications team. And he was looking for, like, students to do different projects on campus. And so he came up to me, he was like, I want to do this project called Sound on the Hill. I don't know what the project's going to be, but you take care of it. So he gave me the name.
Thanks for the gift.
Right. So I didn't know what I was going to do, but at the time I needed an internship. And that particular time, the only options that we had were TV or radio. And I wanted to find something to where I can incorporate both of them together and also add on entertainment with news and everything else when it came to fine art. So I had a friend who took a class with me. Her name is Krista Dees. Mm-hmm. She had a business where she allowed me to come in her hair studio and invite the friends that were looking for internships too to create something there. All my friends were already coming up to me, wanting me to listen to their music or give them a critique on something. And so I was just interviewing my friends at the time. And that turned into us going out into the city and networking with different artists and business owners, and word started getting around. We continued to do that when the world was shut down with COVID, and the word kind of spread. Mm-hmm. So that was the start of Sound on the Hill. Nobody really knew that I ran it because it started with articles. Mm-hmm. So I kept my face hidden for as long as I could until I had to go out there myself and do it.
This is for each of you. What do you find the most joy in doing with Sound on the Hill? Like, where is your, like, perfect spot?
My perfect spot, I just like seeing the community come together. Like, I love the cultural aspect of everyone just being themselves, putting out as much art as possible without even thinking about it, and just seeing everything come to life. Like, my perfect spot would just be just being in the middle of it all, you know, and really admiring the fact that we have the freedom to do whatever we want to do, whatever comes to mind.
Yeah. And Nick?
Mine, and it's kind of the beautiful thing about having been able to be a couple years into it now, or really coming up on 3 years into it. Part of putting together these events and curating events, first and foremost, like creating a safe space mm-hmm. for artists to come and share their work, or even if it's an somebody that's aspiring to be an artist and maybe the work is unformed or I'm just trying to figure out my lane and having a place to try.
And I think that's feel huge. Seen too, I would mm-hmm. think.
I think that's huge. And so seeing the range of people from folks who've been creating for years or recording for years, doing poetry for years, and the range from that to somebody who this might be their very first time performing in front of a crowd mm-hmm. and then seeing them come back and getting more comfortable and getting their sea legs, watching them kind of find their voice and even just getting better, like genuinely just getting better and improving at how they package and put out their artistry. I think that's one of my favorite things about it. So especially with Freestyle Friday, it's a part of the art of rapping that makes a lot of people uncomfortable mm-hmm. and being on the spot. So seeing somebody that may be a super talented writer, like get out of their comfort zone and step into the world of freestyling or seeing somebody that's super great at freestyling connect with the people who are like really good at writing and really good at recording. And you just see these artists that may not have ever connected come together and build relationships, and now they're creating great work mm-hmm. As a result of having that space to come in and meet each other, share their work, and just enjoy the love for mm-hmm. music.
Yeah, and a lot of our past events, the people who've participated, there was like their first time getting on a mic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so seeing the growth from 7 years ago to now, a lot of them are still with us and they still come to the events.
Is that sort of how, like, I kind of wonder how you got 14 members, like how that happened, like just sort of over the years, maybe people who really proved to be like.
A lot of people ask me how I picked the members, and I don't think I just, you know, just knew off the bat. I think it was just being around and observing the different people individually and mm-hmm. what I felt like they could bring to the table. Mm-hmm. I don't know, it just felt like people who needed a home, whatever that means in my brain, you know. But I never really know. It's more of a feeling. Like even with one of my oldest members, Jared, he started as a model. And if you know him, if you knew him back then, he didn't want a model, but I think he just took a chance on it, and he saw everything that we were doing as far as networking and the opportunity to learn how to be in front of a camera or behind a mic or behind the scenes. And now he does his own type of networking around the city, nice. And so do a lot of the other artists who have been on the team. So it's really just a growing opportunity that I like to share, because when I started, I desired for someone to bring me in a little bit.
Yeah.
And I didn't really know what that would look like if someone did, mm-hmm. which is why I just put myself out there.
That is so.
But a lot of people don't do that. You know, a lot of people don't know how to just take that first step and put themselves out there, because I didn't.
Yeah, yeah.
So me being in the position that I'm in, I'm like, okay, I have all these opportunities. I've met all of these different people. Let me figure out a way to bring them in like I want it to be brought in.
That's empowering to hear. I love that you sort of just carved that space for yourself.
Yeah.
And then like shared that with others. That's awesome. You both mentioned it's a safe space, no matter like where you have your events and everything.
Yeah.
Can you define what a safe space means to you? Like, how did you sort of decide what that's going to look like, what people need to adhere to, like when they come in your space?
Okay, so being a spoken word artist and a poet, mm-hmm. a lot of poets hide. A lot of poets don't like getting on the mic. Because it's vulnerable, and when you're writing, it's emotion, it's expression, possibly things that you probably wouldn't say out loud, or if you did, it wouldn't be in a room full of people. Mm-hmm. So we make sure to create spaces to where it's a judgment-free zone. Mm-hmm. Most of the people in here are creative, so they wouldn't dare to judge you anyway.
Yeah.
And the people who aren't creatives, they're in love with art and the fine arts, and they're coming out to support you.
Yeah.
So we try to keep that energy in all the events we put together.
And I would think that y'all keep that in mind when you're choosing these venues and spaces to have these events in. And you mentioned Shenanigans, EQ Labs. Is there like a certain moment where you kind of, like you were in an event space or venue or whatever, and you just knew like this is the first space I want to have this in? Like, or is there maybe a venue that you've partnered with over these 7 years that's been like the long time thing that you're just going to keep going back and back?
One of the biggest things, whether it's a musician, rap, sing, R&B, whatever you do, mm-hmm. poet or otherwise, but like respect the mic is a big one too. Mm-hmm. When I get up here, I don't have to fight the crowd mm-hmm. to do what I got up here to do.
Yeah.
Some folks are already fighting themselves to get up there to do what they came to do. So
out of anxiety for sure.
I think that's a huge part of the safe space. And it's kind of the difference between going to an event that's geared towards just pure entertainment factor, mm-hmm. where the music may be like a background element to what this event is, versus the music or the whoever's on the microphone is like the reason that we're here. And it's the main focus.
Gotcha.
As far as spaces, as safe spaces, this is how I even did my first time on the mic in Huntsville. I was just coming to scope the scene for a studio mixer. I met CC. I was at EQ Labs to record, and met CC at my studio session. Shout out to Q Cole for the introduction. And she told me about her event. Later on, I kind of connected with her and said, like, hey, this sounds like something cool. I have an idea I think could gel well with it. Pretty much come out to scope her scene out to see what it looked like and if my idea was like actually gonna mesh well. I was only there for recon. Like, I wasn't planning on performing or anything. And then I find out she's added me to the open mic list.
Gotcha.
So I'm just in there kind of hanging out. People are performing like, oh, this is dope. I thought it was going to be something light, packed house, parking lot's full. I'm like, oh, wow, this is like big. It's kind of a big deal.
But she gave you that push to go and be great.
Yeah.
Right?
So I was like, okay, yeah. Great job. I'm looking forward to like talking more about our idea. And man, they called my name to come get on the mic, and it just caught me by surprise. But it really did push me kind of off the proverbial porch, sink or swim moment. Like throw me in the pool, mm-hmm. and that was my first time performing my music at home. This is home for me, and that was a big hurdle for me as an artist. Mm-hmm. And so I have a lot of love for that part of the process and knowing that other people are going through that, because I remember what that felt like for me, like that first step and the sharing your creativity with the world or with strangers or even with people that know you but don't know you in that lane, you know. That turned into a year plus long series of events that we were hosting at that venue that introduced me to pretty much everybody I know on the creative scene.
What was the venue?
Here in Huntsville. That was the Freestyle Friday Studio Mixers that we started in 2000, early 22, early 20, 21. That was 21.
Late 21, yes. That was EQ. EQ has always been a home for me. Everybody in there just felt like family. Mm-hmm. And the way they treat their clients is how I wanted to be treated as an artist. The amount of time that they put in with making sure the artist is doing what they're supposed to on the mic when it comes to being themselves and mm-hmm. shaking off that nervousness. Like, they put in the work and effort to make their clients and artists feel comfortable. So that was something that always stuck out to me about being there. Don't tell me you're an artist, because I'm going to give you that big push. I always do.
Nick kind of toast.
I'm the one. I'm gonna be like, so you gonna get on the mic? You gonna get on the mic? And you got like one or two times to tell me no. And then after the second time, it's like, no, you got to get on the mic. But one of my favorite venues here, though, that's not here anymore is Robin's Garden Winery. Okay. And I loved that venue. It was another space that just felt like home and always welcomed us like it was home.
Where was that located?
By A&M. It was right down the street from A&M, you know, where Envy is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's in that plaza.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't like sticking to one venue. I do, but I don't. Like, some feel like home. Some are perfect for whatever event that's coming up. But I'm really big on energy. So if I come into a place and I don't feel like it's right, then it's just not right. And I feel like everybody should treat their events that way. You want it to feel how you feel about your artistry and what you're trying to accomplish with your event.
And we're looking for more venues. So.
Right. We're looking for more venues all the time.
Flexibility is helpful.
Yes.
You just had an event in September, and it was like a community brunch type thing at the Living Room. Can you talk about that event specifically?
So we actually ended up rescheduling the community brunch. That was going to be our opening event for Sound on the Hill Week this year. And it's a perfect opportunity to talk about kind of the intent behind it, because we are shooting at running that in full in November, mid-November. So we're looking.
That's what I get for looking at social media.
No, no,
I love the research.
That's what you're doing. What you're supposed to do. But the community brunch, the intent behind it is an opportunity for us to get the creative community together. Obviously, you know, food, fellowship, music, fun, the things that we like to do. But catering it to like family-friendly environment for one, and two, with the focus of like a mental health check-in on everybody.
Nice.
Getting into the fall season, we get into the weather change.
It's about to be interesting.
It's about to, a lot. So folks, yes. Whether it's seasonal depression or you've just been grinding so hard all year and now you kind of burnt out, check-in, having some resources there, right. Professionals that can talk a bit about their line of work, their craft, and like ideas, best practices, things that folks can do to maintain, things they can do to keep themselves uplifted, and doing all that while we have a good time as well.
Yeah.
So that's the intent behind the community brunch, and we're looking for community partners for that, sponsors for that to help us pull it off.
Awesome.
We're shooting to be able to provide the food free of charge for people and just make it a free event taken care of fully by us and willing community sponsors. So.
Can you guys talk a little bit more about how you want Sound on the Hill to serve the community outside of the obvious like artsy creative vein?
I would say with me, for the past 2 years, I have been really kind of just behind the scenes when it comes to some ideas that I've had. I've kind of just like set them to the side for a later date. So now that we are in the position of the team is just like growing and spreading out and on new ventures, it's given me the opportunity to write out different plans that I've wanted to do with Sound on the Hill. So with the brunch, the idea came about by really me thinking about my family and how we checked in on each other when it came to just sitting around a table and discussing things that we usually don't discuss, you know, and just making sure that we're okay. Mm-hmm. And it didn't happen as often as I wanted it to, but I knew it was something that's needed now because I knew it was needed then. With the community brunch, I want to continue just to be or share love within the community. I think that's what Sound on the Hill is, like love for the community. I don't feel like it should have a specific title. I feel like it should just grow into whatever we continue to create. I have a lot of different ideas when it comes to collaborations. And
do you have any like community partners in mind who you'd like to work with?
I have a lot of people that I want to collaborate with. Mm-hmm. That I haven't yet, especially when it comes to like the R&B and jazz community.
Like Love Jones type stuff. stuff or R&B Lives or
yeah,
Lives.
Love Jones R&B Lives
Vibes Live. Right. I can't talk, sorry.
musicians, just everybody. I want it to be everyone to come together, you know what I'm saying? And sometimes it takes a little bit more work as far as just the structure of how it's supposed to be. But I feel like my attempt in that will be what we have coming up in January, which is our first team showcase.
Ooh, where?
Yeah, so right now we're just saving the date. It's January the 11th, 2025. This will be the first time the team will be having like our own set together. In addition to highlighting different artists that we have networked with around the city, and hopefully an opportunity for all the people who are throwing events to come together and sit in one room and network with each other.
That'll be really, I love going to Tangled String at Lil Mill.
I love Tangled String. Yeah. It's one of my favorite venues. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. I remember when they had the full stage. Mm-hmm. I think after COVID, Danny cut it in half. Mm-hmm. But it's still beautiful. I love everything about it.
Yeah. I think that'd be really cool to see that event at Tangled String. It just sounds like a perfect venue. I don't know. CC, poetry is like your thing, right? Like your form of art that you prefer,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, that's my baby.
Okay, and you also have like freestyling, like you said, represented. You have fashion represented, art. What sort of creative venues have you not seen in the Sound on the Hill spaces that you'd like to see brought to the stage?
We've had a few like thespians, you know, like actors, stage mm-hmm. plays, but like Jared, I think, is our main representative for theater right now. So like connecting with folks in the theater space through our relationship with Shenanigans. I know like I think improv is dope. And I think that the way that the team dynamic is, it would be something fun for us to explore that. Because that's an art. There's an art to that, too.
Oh, yeah. Because it looks so easy. Like, I could do that. But
it's not something you could just kind of jump up and flow with. And there's a team. Right. The team dynamic and aspect of that is awesome as well. We have some fashion designers represented. Mm-hmm. But right now we're only like one model, like formally, but then like a few like moonlight models as well on the team. There's some moonlighters. We all kind of moonlight when called upon. But
I definitely want to highlight the film aspect of things. I'm a huge motion pictures lover, so I want to incorporate that more. That's kind of the idea I had with our last photo shoot that we just did. The 007 shoot at Black Umbrella, that was really beautiful.
Cool.
It came together really nice.
Shout out Black Umbrella.
Shout out to Black Umbrella. More musicians, and not just the musicians that you see all the time, but like the ones who play things that you don't see all the time.
Brass instruments. I'd love to see an upright bass somewhere. I haven't run into an upright bass in a while.
Yes, on the
woodwind.
I just want to explore everything fine art.
Okay. The biggest goal that you guys have in mind for Sound on the Hill, like what is your ultimate, like I've made it sort of feeling? Or have you already reached that maybe? Not yet. No. Okay. She's shaking her head. No.
No. I feel like making it for me is being able for me, along with everyone included, to do this full time.
Mm-hmm.
That's the biggest goal for me, is for us to make this our actual career, because it's something that we love to do. And, you know, any entrepreneur will tell you, like, it's not easy to invest in yourself and also, you know, work a real job and put up the energy to be creative, you know. So my main goal is for us to be able to do everything we love without having to put anything on the back burner.
The last thing is, if there's anything that you'd like to add, anything you'd like to plug.
Yeah, so looking forward to closing out the year strong. First thing that we have coming up that's going to be a pretty considerable effort on our part is the community brunch. Right now it's scheduled for November 17th at the Living Room, family-friendly event. And right now we're looking for sponsors. We rescheduled on one point because Sound the Hill Week was like the main focus, and we wanted to make sure we do this event right. And so that's still the approach. We're looking for community support. In that regard, the Living Room is a nonprofit already, and we'd like to add a way to help them with the community that they support. They do a lot of work with the homeless community here in the city. So what we're looking for, anybody who's in the mental health space that has an idea of how they would like to offer their support or services to Huntsville's creative community, we would love to talk to you. Anybody who's interested in providing some financial support so we can sponsor the meals for the brunch so folks can come and eat for free instead of us having to charge at the door is more than welcomed. If there's any restaurants in the city that are interested in providing some food, and we can maybe talk about ways to get that to be written off if need be through our partnership, that would be awesome as well. So those are like the big three folks that we're going to be looking to connect with over the next 4 weeks or so, local businesses, mental health service providers, community support and wellness, and then local restaurants. We'd love to promote y'all in the process as well.
Also, we have our first team showcase that's happening January the 11th. We are looking for sponsors for that as well. I write articles, so you'll have a personal article written by me. Also, your brand, business, anything that you'd like to promote will be promoted at the event and also on all of our social media. We encourage everyone to come out. This is the first time that we will be showcasing the team as a whole, in addition to artists who have supported us throughout these 7 years, along with some musicians as well.
And follow Sound on the Hill on Instagram @SoundOnTheHill.